Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
Well, it's a privilege to be here today. It's interesting that I am speaking in between David Platt and Johnny Hunt. And the most interesting thing with that is this. I just barely made it through middle school. I spent two of the greatest years of my life in seventh grade. It was my favorite year of school. And they found out the second time I was in seventh grade, Miss Ashley was my English teacher, and she was walking down the aisle, and I made it through up to, you know, I pretty near made it all the way through school, seventh grade. And so she was walking up the aisle, and she saw we were doing work, I guess, in English class. And I was butchering English class, I guess, pretty badly. And she noticed I had a hard time reading. And really, I couldn't read well at all. And she asked me to come to her house. She called my mom and said, would you come bring Jeff to my house on Saturday? And she found out I have dyslexia. I read everything backwards. I'm the most messed up person in this room. So it's amazing that I get to speak here at the Southeastern Seminary. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I was thinking about it. I was watching Platt. I guess the crowd was a lot, you know, we was packed when Platt was here. Amen. So thank y'all for coming today. It's a blessing. I was watching Platt, and he was, I guess y'all had Danny Aiken's, Dr. Aiken's dress up day. And so I don't usually dress up like this. And I'm not a Georgia Bulldog fan by no stretch of the imagination. I'm a Tennessee Vol fan. Can I get an amen? In fact, my youngest son committed to Tennessee a couple weeks ago, but we won't get into all that. But in the process, I wore the red and black in memory or the sadness of the Georgia Bulldogs for Danny Aiken's dress-up day the next week. So, there you go. It's a privilege. I am so honored to be here. I have so much respect for this school and what God is doing at this school. It's a privilege for me to work with men and like Dr. Reed and Dr. Harvey and so many of you professors there, and at the privilege of open doors for Dr. Aikens. And what God is doing here is really special. And I want to thank you for praying for Long Hollow, several of you, and thank you for praying for my pastor, one of my best friends since the eighth grade, David Landreth, who has a pretty bad cancer. And if you would, please remember him. He had a scan that came back, and the doctor called him a couple weeks later after scan, and they're going to have to check him again the day after Easter services. And we have 31 services Easter weekend at Long Hollow, and the pastor is preaching 10 of those. We have multiple campuses. And so if you could please remember David and his family, they're in a very difficult time, and I want to thank y'all for already praying for him. It's been really neat to watch David, what God is doing in David's life, to be able to preach on Sunday mornings. He's wore out. He feels like he has a flu every day, but God shows his grace on Sunday mornings. Boy, he has been preaching. Oh, it's been real special. So please pray for my friend and my pastor, David Land, especially, if you will, Easter weekend and Monday after Easter. Well, I tell you, when I was thinking about what to preach here this morning, I wrestled, because I know there's great theologians. It's kind of intimidating with the people in the front rows and in the back or whatever, and you seminary students, and to know my background. So I was wrestling with what to preach, and it brought me to the book of Matthew. If you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. It's cool. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite. This is probably an elementary sermon for most of you, and that's okay. It's the Word of God. Amen. Anytime you open the Word of God and you get a word from God, the Holy Spirit has a tendency to move. That's what we're praying for. I was looking at Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. I believe in the history of the world, there is no better time to be a minister than right now. Than right now. After doing student ministry and the things that I've done the past 32 years in Florida and Texas and Louisiana and Tennessee and all around the world, I believe students are more excited than ever before to be on mission with God. I believe students don't want to settle for a second. They want to go for it. As a student minister for years, I never wanted to under-challenge students. I wanted to be a minister. I wanted to have a ministry that challenged students and expected God to do what only God could do. Amen? Because there's some things that God can do that only God can do. And it's amazing how God meets us at our expectation. When we expect God to do great things, it's amazing. It's so neat how He comes through. And it's exciting for me to see hundreds and hundreds of students to be called to ministry to serve literally all across the world at this point in time. When you hear the video and watch the video of this young lady serving and wanting to see lives changed, what would happen at Southeastern Seminary today if the Lord did something really special? What would happen today if a great awakening was to start right here, Dr. Reed, today? What would happen here? What would change? What would we see happen? Do we have that expectation? Do we desire to see God supernaturally move in the hearts and lives of people in today's world? Are we so programmed that we've got this thing, we go to here, we've got God almost programmed out, if you will, from moving? Then I'm not against organization and administration. I'm terrible at those things. Dr. Reed said amen. Dr. Harvey's in the back. He'll double amen on that. But you know what? I believe today God is doing miracles. I believe today God wants to do a miracle even in this place. How many of you in this room, you need God to do something in your life? Could I see your hand? That's me. I need the Lord to do something in my life. Because I'm very needy. And the Lord wants to meet me at my point of need this morning. What a miracle. What a miracle. And in this scripture, you have the Lord and disciples just got through feeding 5,000 people. And all of a sudden, there in verse 22, the word immediately. And in this section of Scripture, you're going to see that word three times. Now, immediately, in some cultures, is sooner than other cultures. You know, if you will, if I'm in Africa, you're speaking and the church service starts at 7. You might start at 8:30, You know, time for certain cultures is relative. But in America, the service is going to start. I got the order of worship. The service is going to start here. You better be through at 11 o'clock unless you're David Platt and you go for 2 hours, okay? All righty? But in that verse of Scripture, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. And he's got through feeding 5,000 people or so, and Jesus hung out with those disciples, and he's probably pretty tired of them. You ever hung out with a gang of guys, and you're like, they were your friends, and you hung out with them, but there gets a time where you got
man, I'm tired of you. I'm ready to get by myself. And that's Jesus, I say here. Jesus made disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Now watch what happens. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to do what? To do what? Hello? To do what? To do what? Pray. Jesus got through feeding 5,000 people. Miracle. Jesus getting ready to do another miracle. In our culture, what we like to do is we are scheduled. We say, let's go to this thing, we'll do that thing, we'll go to the next thing. And we'll be so busy about doing the work of God. We get so busy serving out of duty, we miss devotion. And it kills us. We get so busy serving out of duty, we miss the devotion, and it kills us. We get so busy a lot of times in our doctrine, in our study, and we miss our devotion, and it kills us in a lot of ways. And I know what Jesus is getting ready to do right here as he prays. He's staying in the relationship with his devotion and dependence, and his relationship with the Father is fresh. What an example he's teaching us right here. See, in our Baptist world, we can get caught up in doctrine, and we need that. We can get caught up in business and duty, and we need those things, but those things without devotion will be the death of us in a lot of ways. But what Jesus is doing right here, Jesus had got through feeding 5,000 people. Immediately, he sent them away. He sent the disciples away. And he got by himself to pray. So his devotion was fresh. And his dependence was there. Let me ask you a question this morning. How's your devotion? Who are you depending on? See, in our Western culture, a lot of times we depend on self so much. Who do we need the Lord? We have our intelligence. Do we really need Jesus? Well, Jesus got by himself to pray. When evening came there, continue on, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them. Let's get the picture. Here it is, early in the morning. The wind, the waves, everything's up. It never talks about the disciples. I don't know if they did or they didn't. It never talks about them praying. They're probably pretty tired. Early in the morning, all of a sudden, with the wind, the waves all building up, there's something on the water walking towards them. The fourth watch, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. What would you be? Hello? Now, can you imagine? You're sitting there on the lake, and all of a sudden you're tired, you're wore out, and you look up, and the wind, the waves, the rain, it's all coming, and all of a sudden you see an object walking to you on the water. What's your thoughts? Are you going to say, well? Are you going to say, oh, well? Are you going to scream? Are you going to cry out? What are you going to do? The Bible says the disciples, they cried out in fear.
You ever been scared in ministry? You ever have been fearful? I have recently. I mean, you're sitting there, your best friend is cancer. He's also your pastor. And you have this great church that God's worked. I mean, Long Hollow is a church. It's so far out in the country that you have to go towards the city to go hunting. Some of you will get that after a while. It makes no sense why the church has grown the way it's grown. We always say it must be the Lord because people void of all intelligence are the leaders of the church. And you know, so you're sitting there and the leader, the pastor of the church has cancer. He's struggling. He's hurting. I'm his friend. Me and my wife, David and Jennifer, his wife, we all grew up together. And you're sitting there and you're seeing him hurting. And he's got, it feels like he has a flu every day. Struggling. I remember when I was in high school, my senior year in high school, my father passed away. I'd had 3 knee operations. I didn't have any money. Relatively poor. At Carson Newman, after the 3rd knee operation, I was sitting in a bed in a dorm. And I said, God, what's going on? I cried out to Him, God, what's happening? I don't have any money. My father's gone. I've been saved, been baptized, been called to ministry. I've done all the stuff. Where are you at, God? I cried out in fear. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? The disciples, they cried out in fear. You know what's interesting? When I was at Carson Newman, I walked with my crutches to the first base dugout about 11 o'clock at night one night. And I did business with the Lord. And it was like the Lord had said, Jeff, it's okay. I'm not going to leave you and I'm going to forsake you. They cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus said, the second time you see the word immediately, He said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. When I was sitting in that first base dugout that night, God had the right words to say at the right time to me. It's going to be okay. God has the right words to say at the right time to the disciples. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. You're sitting here at school and you're fearful, you're struggling. God knows right where you are today. And He loves you. The disciples cried out in fear. The Lord immediately responded, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. I cried to the Lord in the first base dugout, God, what's going on? Hey, I'm the guy over Thanksgiving. I didn't even go home to have Thanksgiving because I didn't have money to get home. I had supper and Thanksgiving meal with the Chinese, the exchange students in the cafeteria. Hello. I was that guy. But I'm going to tell you something. Over the past 31 years of ministry, for a guy who could just barely read, it's been unbelievable what the Lord, what I've been able to see God do. It's been unbelievable. It's like a Forrest Gump thing, if you will. Really. Because what God had, God promised me, He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you. The disciples, just take courage in His eye. Don't be afraid. Let's read on. Peter, don't you love him? Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, if you're the disciples in the... Have you ever thought about this? If you're the disciples in the boat and you hear Peter saying, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. What are you going to say to Peter here? I mean, what are you going to say?
You're his friend. What are you going to say? That's exactly right. That's what you're going to say. This guy right here just nudged that guy, hit him like this right here. You're going to hit Peter and say, what are you doing? See, I can see all that what y'all do out there, you know. When you're asleep, I can see it. When you hear somebody to speak, you can see all that. And so Peter's in there in the boat, and disciples, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And you're his friend. You're saying, Peter, you can't do that. What are you doing? You don't even know if that's Jesus. In ministry, get this. Just know this. When God's getting ready to do something special in your life, some of the people that will be the biggest naysayers will be the folks closest to you. Some of the people that will be the biggest naysayers will be the folks that are closest to you. See, Peter's ready to experience a miracle in his life. He's getting ready to walk on water. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And I guarantee all the disciples in that boat said, you can't do that. I guarantee they weren't shut mouthed. And what does Jesus say? What's in verse 29, what's the first word? What does it say? It says in my Bible, come. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Peter says, come. Jesus says, come. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God wanting you to do something today? And you've been putting it off? And He's saying, come. You're listening to people, maybe some naysayers say it can't happen. And you're sitting in the comfort of your boat. And you're missing a miracle probably in your life. Guys, I'm telling you something. I want you to hear this. I believe the Lord wants to do something supernatural with each one of us. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is living and active in my life. The Holy Spirit is there. The Word is real. And one thing about God, one thing about Jesus, He's a living God. Can I get an amen? And the fact of it is, He wants to do something in my life today. And in my will, and Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And He says, come. God is asking many of you, all of you, to do something. It's a law of physics, if you will. God can move. You can direct a moving object easier than you can if one's sitting still. And so the fact of it is, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter starts stepping out of the boat. He starts stepping out of the boat. When Peter got down of the boat, walked on water, he came towards Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. You know what? I believe that one of the main reasons we don't choose to step out and trust in the Lord, we don't step out of our comfort zone, is because I think we think we're going to mess up. Get this. I know in my own life, the Lord Jesus can handle my mess ups. He can handle that. He just wants me to choose to step out and trust Him. Because He wants to do something special in my life. He wants to do a miracle in my life. Am I willing to trust Him in that? So Peter's walking on the water. All of a sudden he takes his eyes off Jesus, begins to look at the circumstances of life all around him. Do you ever get that way? There'll be thousands and thousands of ministers that will quit the ministry this year because of that.
They'll take their eyes off Jesus and they'll begin to look at all the circumstances of the ministry and they'll quit. They'll quit. I want to challenge you. There's going to be a time in your life, in your ministry, that you're going to quit, feel like quitting. I've done that every Thursday after Wednesday night service or every Monday. Hello. And when that happens, I want to encourage you to learn to reflect back on why you do what you do. Reflect back to your call in ministry and why you're doing what you're doing. We don't talk about that a lot in church world, the call to the ministry and why I'm doing what I'm doing. In seminary, a lot of us talk about how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. My question is, why are you doing it? Because if you understand the why, you'll put up with almost any how. But the problem is we focus in how so much, we've forgotten about why. Peter, why am I out there on this water? Because Jesus told me to come. How am I doing this? The wind and the waves, all this is up against me. I'm going to quit. He takes his focus off Jesus, begins to put his focus on all the circumstances, and begins to sink. Begins to sink. I love this right here. And he cries out. He cries out, Lord, save me. And for the third time, verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? You're in life, you're in ministry, seminary, you're trying to make it. I can remember when Rachel and I were in seminary, we had a rented apartment. We had blinds and little curtains, and when the wind would blow there, in that Southwestern Seminary, man, the windows would be shut and the blinds would still shake. We had rented furniture. I mean, we didn't have anything hardly but each other and the Lord. There was many times we felt like we were sinking. How are we going to pay for things? And you know what? God called us. He made a way. He was wanting to work in our lives. He was wanting to work in Peter's life. Lord, save me. He reached up his arms. Jesus reached down there and got him. Peter's the only person in the history of the world that ever walked on water twice. Once focused on Jesus, the second time in the arms of Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? To have the Lord Jesus Christ do a miracle in our life. And we might not just get it just right. And he says, you know what? I'm going to carry you back to the boat. I'm going to carry you back to the boat. And when they got back to the boat, it's interesting. Jesus said, why did you doubt? You have little faith. Why did you doubt? How much faith did the disciples show in the boat? Hardly any, if any. You know, we like to be critical of Peter because he showed little faith, but at least he showed some faith. When they got back to the boat, they climbed in and wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's almost like church today. The disciples are in the boat. They've not shown hardly any faith, if at all, any faith at all. They probably maybe were the naysayers for Peter not to walk on the water. But when they got back to the church house, they were the comfort of the church room. They hold hands and sing Kumbaya or some modern great chorus something. But you know what? Peter experienced the miracle in his life. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today to pray. Do what Jesus did and get by yourself to pray. Secondly, I want to encourage you today to step out of your comfort zone and experience a miracle in your life if God's calling you. Thirdly is this. Don't worry about your mess up. God can handle that. He just wants you to step out. And don't under-challenge your people. Don't under-challenge your people. Expect God to do great things with them. Because we have a great God. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you today. And God, I pray that we would be people that would step out of our comfort zone, that would step out of the boat and trust you today. And God, I pray that we would see people with your eyes. And God, thank you that you change lives. For this simple scripture, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for calling us. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.secbts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.